is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, I'm Lucas Ann, and thank you for listening to Locked On Clippers. If you like the Locked On Podcast Network and you're interested in joining our team, this may be your chance. The Locked On Podcast Network is hiring a national sales manager. You can be a part of the fastest-growing sports podcast network, selling the NBA channel, NFL channel, and the entire network to our national advertisers. If you have the skills, the perseverance, and the game to be a part of the Locked On Podcast Network, email lockedonpodcasts@gmail.com with your resume. That email address, again, was lockedonpodcasts@gmail.com. Now enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. I'm your host, Lucas Han, and today is Tuesday, June 6th, 2017. We're here with our second episode of the week in kind of a brief mini show, as there's not a whole ton going on in Clipperland, and there's no new NBA Finals game to talk about until Wednesday night. So for now, we're just going to continue with a little bit of our off-season prep, talking about the tools that the Clippers have to sign free agents. So if you were with us on Friday and Monday, then you heard the shows about determining what the Clippers' roster needs are and how the Clippers can keep their own players from last season. If you didn't listen to those shows, I'd highly recommend going back and checking them out, because there's a lot of good information there just regarding what the Clippers' front office is facing as they head into July's free agency period. But the basic rundown is that they have some tools to keep guys who were on the team last year, and that's good because we don't really know what they'll need at all, depending on what happens with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, and then after that, if they're able to get Karl-Anthony in a trade or not. The needs of the team can shift drastically. Now, as I talked about on Friday, I think the best scenario to operate under is assuming that Chris Paul and Blake Griffin are kept, if only because if they leave, it doesn't really matter what you do during this free agency period. Sure, you could get a couple young pieces that are part of your core moving forward, and there are players the Clippers, you know, can target, but ultimately, the Clippers hopefully will start, you know, their goal should be the 2018 draft. If Chris Paul and Blake Griffin leave, it should not be about how many games can you win in the 2018 season. It should be about getting a good pick in the 2018 draft, potentially trading the veterans that the Clippers have remaining for more draft assets, and building around a young core starting next summer. It's almost a throwaway year if Chris Paul and Blake Griffin leave. So it matters way more what the front office does if Paul and Griffin stay. And so we've been operating under that assumption. What, you know, prepare, who should the Clippers target if Paul and Griffin both stay? And a big part of that is keeping their own free agents. Like we talked about yesterday, they have tools to keep guys like Luke Mbamute, Raymond Felton, Brandon Bass. It's going to be a decision time for JJ Redick with a big contract. But there's always going to be a lot of excitement about who the Clippers can target outside of their own team. How can the Clippers go sign new players to come in and help them instead of just running it back with the same team that was good last year but not good enough? Now, just like every year, the Clippers' options are going to be pretty limited by their salary cap situation. So anytime you've got Chris Paul making $35 million, Blake Griffin making $30 million, DeAndre Jordan making like $22 million, you don't have a lot of flexibility around those guys, especially with the salaries that Jamal Crawford and Austin Rivers now have under the new ballooned salary cap. So there's three general ways that a team can sign a player from outside of their roster while exceeding the salary cap, so besides using cap room. The first is a mid-level exception, The second is the biannual exception, and the third is the minimum exception. So they basically work like this. The mid-level exception has three tiers depending on what kind of team you are. If you're a team that has a bunch of cap room and you sign players using cap room, once you get to the cap, you get an exception for one more player. It's called the room mid-level exception. So it's for teams that had and used their cap room. It's worth about $4.3 million this summer. So if the Clippers lose Paul and Griffin, they'll have cap room. If they use all of that cap room, they'll get the room mid-level for $4.3 million. Then there's the non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is for most teams who are over the cap but underneath the luxury tax line. It's known as the full mid-level exception. It's worth $8.4 million. Under the new salary cap, again, all these exceptions have greatly increased in value because the salary cap jumped so high in the last couple of seasons with the NBA's new television deal. So the $8.4 million is like the big one. But if the Clippers keep Paul and Griffin, they're going to be over the luxury tax line. They're not going to be able to use that one. If you guys remember, in some of the recent years, we've talked about the Clippers being hard capped. There are a few things that trigger the hard cap. Using that full $8.4 million mid-level exception is one of them. So the year that the Clippers signed Spencer Hawes and traded Jared Dudley, they were hard-capped because they used the full mid-level exception. But in a year when they signed Paul Pierce, since that was the taxpayer mid-level exception, they weren't hard-capped. Last year, they were hard-capped because they used the full mid-level exception on Wesley Johnson, but the hard-cap didn't really come into play because, again, the salary cap had jumped so high. But now that Chris Paul and Blake Griffin's salaries are going to be jumping along with the salary cap, you're back in that same predicament. And then the last part of the mid-level exception is the taxpayer mid-level, known as the mini MLE, mini mid-level exception. And that's worth about $5.2 million this summer. This is what the Clippers used in the past to sign Paul Pierce. And if the Clippers are able to keep Chris Paul and Blake Griffin, which is the ideal scenario, this is the main tool that they'll have to sign a free agent. Now, the taxpayer mid-level exception, again, it starts at $5.2 million. With raises, it runs for a maximum of 3 years. The Clippers could offer someone like a three-year, $16.4 million deal. That's what we're working with. And so that's not a lot when you think about it. I mean, it's a ton of money to a person, yes, but in the NBA market, it's not a lot. Wesley Johnson got 3 years, $18 million last summer. And so this is slightly less than that. Austin Rivers, Jamal Crawford, remember, each got over $10 million a year and had multiple offers at over $10 million a year. Even Luke Mbamute, we figure, is going to get more than this level of money this summer. So you have to wonder what kind of player you can actually get with this money. Maybe a veteran like Thabo Sefolosha, who would be coming, you know, maybe that's Thabo's salary range. Maybe he gets offers for more, but on worse teams, and he's a veteran, he wants to come here. Maybe a young guy like Ben McLemore, who there's a lot of doubts around him in the NBA. You can lock him up on a three-year deal like that and give him a chance to prove himself. But it's not, you know, it's not as much money as $5 million would have sounded like 5 years ago when the Clippers were able to sign Jamal Crawford, a perennial sixth man of the year candidate, for $5 million. The cap logistics of the league have just kind of changed. But that's going to be the Clippers' main tool. If they keep Paul and Griffin, they swing that Melo trade, this is their main tool to add a helper. And so assuming they re-sign Raymond Felton like we talked about yesterday, and re-sign Luke Mbamute like we talked about yesterday, this $5.2 million salary slot is likely either going to go towards another wing, so like a backup shooting guard who can maybe also play small forward, so a guy like Sefolosha or McLemore, or a backup center to replace Mo Spates, who is likely going to move on for a salary greater than this $5.2 million. Now, the next exception, remember I said at the beginning there are three main ways to exceed the salary cap to sign free agents from outside your own team: the mid-level, the biannual, and the minimum. The biannual, as you may guess by its name, can be used biannually every other year. So the Clippers used it last season on Luke and Bamute. They cannot use it this year. But, again, it's jumped up in value from $2 million last year to about $3.3 million this year. So next year when the Clippers get it back, it will be a little more of a substantial tool than it was last summer. The final exception that the Clippers have to use is the minimum salary exception. And this, kind of how we talked about with Raymond Felton, Brandon Bass, Allen Anderson, Mo Spates yesterday, is one that has really changed a lot from previous collective bargaining agreements. So this just seems to have a lot more spending power than it did last summer, especially because last summer we saw the Clippers have interest in guys here and there and get them poached away for a $2 million contract offer, $2.5 million contract offer, $3 million contract offer. Because the Clippers are coming in with minimum salary offers, and the highest minimum salary last summer for players with 10 or more years of experience was about $1.5 million. A lot of players were making closer to $1 million on the minimum salary. Now, these salaries have all increased. So for a player with 10-plus years of experience, a two-year minimum salary contract pays $4.8 million compared to signed last summer, it would have paid about $3 million. And that makes a big difference because teams are going to come in again with, you know, they go sign their free agents, but the salary cap is so high that a lot of players will be, or a lot of teams will be looking to fill out their last one or two roster holes. You know, yeah, well, we could use another point guard for depth, and we need a fifth veteran big in case someone gets injured. Well, we have $5 million in cap space left, so let's offer these two guys each $2.5 million. Whereas traditionally, those would all be considered minimum salary level players. With the minimum salary increasing, it helps the Clippers be a little more competitive. So, signing these minimum salary guys won't be as dismal as it seems to have been in years past, although the Clippers, you know, to Doc Rivers' credit, have had a lot of success with minimum salary guys, even last season. Raymond Felton, Brandon Bass, Mo Spates, all solid contributors for the minimum. The only guy who didn't really step up was Allen Anderson. But you know, if you're going to sign four minimum guys and three of them are going to contribute at an above minimum value level, that's a pretty good success rate. Now, like I said, this is a pretty brief episode just explaining the exceptions. And as we get into, you know, out of the basics and into more hypothetical scenarios in the coming weeks, we'll talk about guys the Clippers can target. So we'll go a little more in depth. I know I mentioned a couple names like Cephalosha and McLemore, but who the Clippers can target for this mid-level exception at different spots. Do they want to go after a point guard and maybe replace Raymond Felton? Are they going to use it on a big or a wing? Are they going to try to get another small forward to maybe compete with Luke and Bamute for the starting spot? And then who are minimum guys that they can target? You know, there's always going to be those bottom of the barrel, like it's almost like going to a, you know, like a Best Buy and looking at the $5 CD rack, right? They got all sorts of old stuff and probably 1,000 things that you don't want. But maybe there's one in there you're like, oh man, I love this band. So you look for the one guy, and for the Clippers last summer they were able to get that with Raymond Felton and Mo Spates were both very good values at the minimum. So we'll look at who their options are going to be this summer based on who's available in free agency and then where they could potentially spend that mid-level exception. But for now, we're going to call it an episode. We'll be back tomorrow with another new episode of the Locked On Clippers podcast. If you have any comments, questions, or feedback, please feel free to reach out to me on Twitter at LucasJHan or email me lhan.clipsnation@gmail.com. And as always, make sure that you're reading the Clips Nation blog at www.clipsnation.com and following along on Twitter at ClipsNationSBN. This is Lucas Han signing off for Locked On Clippers.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99. And our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.